record on this computer. Hi guys, welcome to Derek's live web chat show. The first thing I want to say is many apologies when we got Zoom bombed on Monday. It's the sort of thing that you think can't happen to you, and then it did. I actually got locked out of my computer while the meeting carried on and everyone was saying, where's Derek? I couldn't get back in for about 5 minutes. I tried my second computer, couldn't get back in on that. And then all of a sudden, I got in and at that point I couldn't put the microphone on. The moment I put the microphone on, we got Zoom bombed with that disgusting picture. So I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, thinking about it, worrying about it, writing you guys a letter. And then all day yesterday I spent checking all the security sections, looking at what we could do to stop it happening. So I hope I've put all those things in place, and I'm happy to talk to you, any of you, about it, because it's really important that you know about it. Tomorrow's interview is with Graham Jones. Graham Jones, the psychologist, the internet psychologist, great friend of mine. We've just had a call to talk about what we're going to talk about. It's at 5:30, and I'll lock the screen at 5:34. They'll all be put on YouTube anyway. If you can't make it. I'm just checking. I've done everything I should do. Yep, I have. That's great. So today's, turning to today's speaker, Gabrielle Gachet. Gabby, you'll have to unmute yourself as well.
Yeah, I'm here.
I met Gabby 18 years ago when I was particularly interested in learning about NLP. I discovered NLP because I'd been on a one-day training session at Barclays head office at in Lombard Street, and I was just fascinated by the whole thing. Neuro, how the brain works, linguistic, the language you use, and programming. And I wanted to incorporate this into all the training I did on negotiation and into my book, and I managed to do that. Gabby was one of the coaches on the course, and we connected and we've done some work together. We've done some teaching on advanced negotiation skills down at to some of the big high rollers in Barclays Capital down in London, people who earn more money than sense. But I'm just going to walk you through very quickly the bits I use. Now, I can use that slide should be up there. And that's the slide that I use just to explain some NLP. And I'm going to walk you through it, first of all, very, very quickly before Gabby comes in. The first thing, and I hope you can see my mouse at 11 o'clock, is putting yourself in the right state, frame of mind, energy, to do whatever you're going to do. And then the next thing is building rapport, connecting with the other person, because you can't influence, persuade anybody unless you connect with them and build rapport. Modeling is what I really am excited about. Modeling the highest achievers, the people that can do things that other people can't do. The psychology of NLP says if someone can do it, someone else can do it, you can do it, as long as you follow their psychological and physical strategy. Number three is goals and timeline, which is what Gabby's going to talk about today. Using positive language. Pattern interrupts, a very interesting one for when you're negotiating or you're in a meeting and something's not going quite right. You might just stand up and go and get a cup of coffee or something, or open the window, or just something for effect, which affects the way everybody else is thinking and brings them back into the now. Isopractice, mirroring and matching body language, using sensory acuity, all our senses to see what's going on, hear what's going on, etc. Embedded commands, which Gabby doesn't know this yet, she's going to come back and do another session for us on chunking, triggers, anchors, and reframing. That would be a 20-day course on NLP that I've just run you around in 2 minutes. The practicalities of it are very useful. Most of the books are American that have been written on it, and they've been written by people who I can't understand, but Gabby translates it into UK English, which is great. And with a couple of my American friends on, I better be careful what I'm saying. I take that back, Kevin. You're from Chicago, and you're almost one of us, because you've crossed the pond a few times. So Gabby today is going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, how you set goals, having clear goals, how you can use imagination, timeline, and the correct language to achieve those goals. And all the gurus, Tony Robbins, people like that, talk about this. So Gabby, thanks for joining us for the third occasion. Delighted to have you here, and over to you.
Delighted to see women on the call. Thank you very much indeed. Goes back to, it kind of links in very nicely with well-formed outcomes, which is what we're talking about today, and visualization, because I visualized having more women on this course and on these calls, and you're here, so welcome. So goal planning is a massive subject. I'm sure a number of you have been on courses that have lasted a day, 2 days, 5 days. We've got 10-15 minutes. So with regards to goal setting, one of the things that I talk about is well-formed goals. And I tend to use the analogy of Doctor Who. For those of you that aren't in the UK, Doctor Who is a program on TV where the Doctor goes into his TARDIS and he time travels. And this idea of using timelines can be very, very useful in creating goals. Currently, we're in lockdown. I think everyone here is in lockdown. And I know that a number of people have really, really struggled with this. And the idea of a timeline is that we all see the world, not just in here, but completely around our surroundings. So if you like, it's our filing cabinet of our mind is all around us. And for most people, we tend to see the future in front of us, or to the, it will be that way for you on here. That's right. And many people see the past either behind or that way. So if you think about how you read from that way to that way. Is that correct? As you look at it, I don't know what you're seeing. From that way to that way, you see it?
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. Right. From left to right.
I see it differently on here, so it's very odd. And so what tends to happen is the past is at the beginning and the future is where you end up. Very interestingly, in Korea, in China, and places like that, they tend to see the past up there and the future down there. So there's a slight distortion of where you go. There's no absolutes, it's just understanding what it is for you. But what it does allow you to do is to create on the floor a line that is your timeline. And from that, you can travel in time, you can do your Doctor Who. And currently, we're in lockdown. Our great grandparents or great great grandparents or grandparents, dependent on your age group, may well have been through something similar to this during the Spanish influenza. Well, how wonderful would it be to be able to walk back in time and talk, you know, find out what information they've got to help you to survive? Equally, we're going to come out of lockdown fairly soon, and we want to start creating goals and thinking about our future. So you can go into the future and walk into the future, walk into your future around what you want. And there is something about going into it and literally turning back on yourself today and being able to give yourself some advice. So, what advice would you give yourself? If you were to travel now, maybe just close your eyes for a second and walk forward into next week, next month, next year, and where would you like to be? Where do you envisage yourself being in a year's time? And from that place, turn around and see yourself sitting here on this call. What advice would you give yourself to get you to where you want to be in a year's time? And you'll be amazed at the things that come into your mind and the insights that you can get. because you have the answers. Each and every one of you has the answers for your future. So that's very much an NLP timeline exercise. But let's just get really practical, well-formed outcomes. So what outcome do you want? What is the goal that you are after? One of the ways of doing it is through visualization. So, you know, if I were to say to you, imagine sucking a really crisp, cold lemon at the moment. I don't know about you, but I start salivating and I can not quite taste the lemon, but I have the effect of the lemon in my mouth. And actually it's very drying in my mouth, which is not a good idea when you're talking.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's a great exercise to do. All you do is shut your eyes. Imagine you're holding a lemon in your hand with that sort of rubbery fur. And then as you put it up to your mouth, you imagine you bite into it and, generally, about 60 or 70% of people can feel that sort of tanginess you got from 11. And that's a great demonstration, Gabby, as you said, of what the imagination can do if you take yourself down your timeline and imagine it's the 29th of April, 2021, and you've achieved a few things that you really wanted to do with your life in under new normal. Back to you, Gabby.
Thank you. So, visualization, we've talked about it before, the imagination and reality work in the same way in the mind. So actually when you imagine and you visualize, it can create the things that need to happen in your psyche to be able to achieve it. So one of the ways is to actually have pictures. So do a picture board of what you want to have achieved. To give you an example, I was working with a client quite a number of years ago, and they had a set amount that they wanted to earn the following year. So what I did is I said to the guy, okay, well, just write down the number that you want and stick it on your window, on your mirror. So when you're brushing your teeth in the morning, you can see the amount that you want to earn. And he said, oh, great, I can do it more than there. I can do it in my bedroom window, bedroom mirror. I'll stick it in the car. I'll stick it in various different, on the fridge. And, I worked with him on the various things that he needed to do, which I will come back to achieve his goal. And at the end of the year, sure enough, sorry, it's the computer, I can't get rid of my phone. Not only had he achieved it, but his wife had achieved it as well. It wasn't even her goal. Because she was in the kitchen seeing the number, she was in the bathroom seeing the number. So it's quite interesting how when you have a very clear picture of what you want to achieve, your psyche will do what it needs to do to achieve it. So things to think about from a pragmatic perspective. What will it look like? What will you hear when you achieve your goal? How will you speak to yourself? What will other people be saying to yourself, to you? What will it feel like? How will you feel? How will your family feel? How will the people that are important to you feel once you achieve your goal? What does it taste like? What does it smell like? Dependent on what your goal is. And then there's this start maintain test. It's important that you work out the first thing that you need to do. And then you need to do that on a regular basis. And every so often, you need to stop and test, are you going in the right direction? Because it's all very well going in that direction, but if you suddenly realize that you're off track, you might want to change a couple of degrees. So it's important to take time out on a regular basis to find out what is the best way forward. Yeah, it's what all the politicians are doing at the moment. Are they going in the right direction? They're constantly testing the numbers, testing, are they moving in the right direction?
Gabby, the way I use this when I'm coaching negotiation skills for somebody, I say we're on the, can you see that? 29th of April, 2020. We've got this fantastic negotiation coming up. Let's take the EU negotiations, which I'm watching really carefully. We've got to achieve what we want to achieve on the 31st of December, 2020. That's not negotiable by Boris, whatever Mr. Barnier says. So we've achieved our outcome there, all the things we wanted. We feel great about it. We've got the deals, et cetera, despite what the papers say, despite what the cynics say, despite what the people who don't want us to leave say. That's the goal of the government. And then we've achieved it. How did we achieve it? And we feel how it was. Let's look back down the timeline to today. What action did we take today? What action did we take tomorrow? What action did we take there to take us towards our goal? And so it's a great way, I think, of exactly what you're describing, to have a plan and chunk through the actions. Most people don't have goals at all. They don't know what they want. And I guess what every road takes us there, which is nowhere. Mm. Back to you.
Thank you. So the other things to consider, what are the positive byproducts of you achieving this goal? Because when you start thinking about the positive byproducts, it helps you to stay on course. It helps you on the days when it's grey and rainy. Let's say that you want to get fit and you're going for a run on a regular basis. On a day like today, what are the positive byproducts of you being fitter? It will help you to stay motivated and actually do what needs to be done. Is now the right time? So is it a timely goal? Have you got the right people in place? Are you in the right place? What resources do you need in order to achieve it? And the more you can think through all of these different aspects, the more likely you are to achieve your outcome. How ecological is it? And finally, what is the side effect of you doing nothing? If you don't achieve your goal, so what? What are the byproducts or the side effects of you not achieving it? Because I think we talked about it last time, some people like to move towards things and other people like to move away from things. So as a human being, we have that combination. So think about, if you, for example, if you don't get fit, you're more likely to get diabetes, you're more likely to have a heart attack, you're more like, so remember that so that you've got something, some impetus to move away from that and move towards the goal that you want.
Gabby, I was going to say in sales, of course, away motivation sells in the short term and towards motivation sells in the long term, which is why most advertisers use away motivation. If you don't do this, don't buy this toothpaste, your teeth will fall out. But the trouble with away motivation and the trouble with negativity, which is what we're bombarded by, particularly with the BBC news and other news, but the BBC seems to be worse. 6 o'clock last night, they came out with five dreadful statistics, which were so negative. And yet, less people have died, the lockdown's going to come off, etc. Whereas I turned over to ITV local news and they had some positive stuff about what people were doing to help the NHS. And the trouble is, if we bombard ourselves with this negativity, which is away motivation in sales, rather than towards motivation, which you're talking about, it's very easy to get fed up and depressed. So,
which is why it's a combination of what is your positive outcome? What does it look like, sound like, smell like, feel like? What are you going to start? How are you going to start, maintain, test? What are the positive byproducts? How is it ecological? What are the resources required? Is it timely? Is it the right time? Are you in the right place? Have you got the right people? Have you got the right resources? And the one, just one out of all of those is what is the push away from? Okay, and that creates a well-formed outcome. And if you then put that well-formed outcome into your timeline, walk down your timeline. So if I were to stand in my timeline and I can see that sitting there is when I will have achieved my goal, as I stand here, I can see the goal unfold. And then I can just slowly walk through all the aspects until I achieve my goal. Having achieved my goal, I can then turn round and talk back to the Gabby that's back here and give advice on what are the things that you might do differently or that could expedite and make things work better and faster. And you might think of other people that could help you get there even more quickly. So there's an element of tapping into your brilliance, because you've got all of the answers up there. It's just a matter of walking yourself through how you're going to get from A to B. And then once you're at your goal, talk as if you have it. So here I am, I am fit, I am healthy, I have this, that, and the other, whatever it is that you want to achieve. And there you have it, in a nutshell.
Fantastic. So that's 20 minutes on a 1 week NLP course that you just summarized for us there. The reason I went on two NLP courses, and the second one was where I met Gabby, was I didn't really get it the first time. And I described doing an NLP practitioner's course as like doing a psychology degree in 10 days. And that's what it felt like. My head was absolutely spinning. So I was trying to figure out how I put it into practice. And I think one of the things that I'd just like to get everybody to think about, when you set goals, it's not just the goal for the next 6 months. It's the goal for the next day, the goal for the next 3 hours, the goal for the next hour. And clearly, something happens in the brain when you write your goals down. I don't know what it is. In your own handwriting, QWERTY keyboards are no good. They were designed by Mr. Remington to stop the keys jamming, and they make no logical sense to anything. So writing your goals down and what you've achieved at the end of the day, putting that by your bed or whatever, if your wife will let you or your husband will let you or your partner, you quite often wake up in the middle of the night with the answer to what it is. Now, no one really knows how that works, but it's the reticular activation system working for you, because your brain never goes to sleep and it sort of puzzles things out, which has happened in the day. And as you know, when you stay in a hotel, they usually put a pen and a pad by your bed to do exactly that thing. And Einstein and Edison and all the great achievers knew that you get these inspirational ideas for 10 seconds when you're driving, when you're doing yoga, when you're down the gym, when you're out walking, not when you're at your desk. So just a few things that when I took away from the formal NLP that I put into practice and recommend people use. Now, guys, don't forget where the chat box is. It's halfway, it's at the in the middle of your screen, and I've got a couple of people in the chat box. So while I'm just going through that with Gabby, and then I'll unmute you all, let's just run through that and think about any questions you've got. Going back, Keith says, visualization is what happens when you look through a vacations catalogue. Absolutely right. You look at that and suddenly you're in the zone and you're imagining where you'll be on holiday in 6 months' time. You see the holiday and it's easy to see the steps you take. That's why Gabby was saying put pictures. You probably heard these stories of people with pictures of what they want all round their house.
So one of the things that I used to in my past, I was an interior designer, and one of the best ways to enable people to have the home that they look for, that they dream of, is for them to do exactly that, to look through all of the magazines that are out there, the home and gardens magazines, and pick out things that they like, because then you begin to get a sense of the bigger picture. I know that there is an architect in amongst you, and you know, I'm sure that that's all part of it as well. It's looking at, you know, when you want to buy a house, as you look through houses and walk past houses, oh, I really like that bit, or I don't like that bit. And it's as much what you don't like as what you do like to be able to hone down exactly what is going to be wonderful for you.
Absolutely. And Alan McCulloch's a fantastic architect. And when I talk to him, he says, I can visualize this in someone's house. But I go round to the house, and the real issue is to sell it to the housewife or the man, what it will look like, and getting them to accept it. And then I can get them to buy it. And I'll ask Alan to come in later if he wants to put something in the chat box. I was now going to go to Jill English, who says, away from motivation is less powerful, the better things become. So it's easy to slack. The ideal propulsion system is both elements, but we are bombarded by negative motivation if we're not careful, because that sells in the short term all sorts of things. And I'm always surprised that people don't know what soap operas were invented for. Soap operas were invented in the 50s to sell soap to housewives, because they weren't buying it. So anyway, that's probably got nothing to do with it. Keep it moving. Kevin from Chicago, bit early in the morning for this. Kevin, nice to see you up. The famous psychiatrist Karen Horney said we move towards, away, against, and ambivalently seems to get us into trouble with goals. And perhaps I'll open that up in a minute, and Kevin can explain that to a simple Brit like me who doesn't quite get that. Norman says lockdown can be viewed as an opportunity, so it's worth making a list of the positives and setting goals to achieve it before it ends. Yeah, and I don't know why people just set goals on New Year's Day, because goals can be set at any time for any period. You just need to keep reminding yourself of it.
And I think at this kind of time, when, as Norman says, this is an opportunity, one of the best ways to stay positive, to stay in your brilliance, is to, on a daily basis, think about the things that you are grateful for. I've mentioned it before, one of the things that we do at every evening meal when we get together, whether it's just my husband or I, at the moment I've got my son and his girlfriend, they're living with us as well, and it's been wonderful. And at the end of every day, we talk about what has a challenge that we've had, how we've overcome it, so that again you tap into, you know, well done, you've managed to overcome a challenge. And it reinforces the fact that you are resilient individuals. And what is the one thing today that you've been really proud of or happy with? And it could be seeing, you know, when I sit here, I've got my garden in front of me, just behind you chaps and chapesses. And I've got my beautiful wisteria and garden. And sometimes it's just seeing the sunlight coming through there that is, it just fills me with joy. And to recount that and remember the things that make you feel good, just puts a perspective on everything else in work. Sometimes we can make work very, very close rather than pushing it away and making it just the tiny little thing that it is in the great scheme of things.
Brilliant. Right, I'm going to unmute everybody when I've just read this comment from Alan McCulloch. Gabby is exactly correct. To get a definitive architectural, can't say it, project brief, images are extremely useful, because a picture tells 1,000 words, doesn't it? So everybody's unmuted now. So if questions for Gabby, fire away.
Gabby, it's more, am I unmuted here? Can you hear me? Yeah,
yes,
hi. I do understand what you're saying, and goals are very laudable, you know, but we're in a special environment at the moment, and a lot of companies' goals at the moment are purely survival. You don't have to take British Airways, for example, at the moment. So some of the things you're saying I get in a normal working environment, but things are very challenging at the moment, and the goals are extremely short term and reactionary. You know, it's you don't have to step more forward than about 3 or 4 months, and am I going to survive in 3 or 4 months? And so you've got a very short time horizon to consider these goals in the way that you're looking forward and looking back. I think it's quite a different environment we're looking at the moment in terms of this goal setting and achievement.
Absolutely. And I think one of the stories that I remember vividly from, I think it was Stephen Covey years and years ago, he got a bucket and he put a load of big pebbles in and he filled the bucket until it was full and said, "Is the bucket full?" "Yes, the bucket's full." And then he got a load of tiny little pebbles and he said, he poured those in and the little pebbles went through past the big rocks and he said, "Right, is it full?" "Like, yeah, well, yes, it's full." And then he brought another bucket of sand and he poured the sand in and the sand went in between the pebbles and the rocks and he filled it up and he said, "Okay, now is it full?" It's like, "Well, yeah, now it's full." So we've had three times believing that the bucket's full. And then he brought a couple of beers and he poured the beers in and he said, "There's still room for beer." The goals that we're talking about are individual to you, and what is important is that you consider what are your rocks, what are the things that are really important to you now, because those rocks generally will be important to you when all of this is over. So it could be family, it could be health, it could be prosperity, it could be your sense of humor, whatever it is for you. A lot of people are getting caught up on the goal of maybe the sand, whereas actually going out and having a walk, staying fit, staying healthy, being positive is really important. And the idea of having the cup of coffee or the beers at the end is, it doesn't matter what's going on in life, there's always time to have a drink with a friend.
Especially a beer, Gabby. Especially a beer.
Yeah. Okay. So I hear what you're saying, Martin, and that's why it becomes more important to consider what are the goals for you whilst we are in lockdown and going forward outside of lockdown. Because
we're
nearly out of time.
The personal goals around all of this, which is fine. I'm looking at more from business goals as well. So your personal goals you can deal with, and that's down to the motivation of the individual. And I agree with you, setting those sort of goals is fine. From a business goals point of view, that's a slightly more different. I run a small business, and obviously you're trying to motivate the people, keep people on side, people in lockdown, working in new environments. Survival is important in terms of, liquidity in businesses and things like that. You're trying to set all of these goals, and you're talking about sorting these goals out in a 3-month time frame. It's a quite different perspective of goal setting than thinking, a 1-year business plan, 2 years down the line. I want to achieve this in a year's time. We're in a sort of micro environment, which makes goal setting completely different in some respects.
Guys, sorry, Martin, I didn't mean to stop you, but we've only got a few minutes. I just wanted to bring Kevin in. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Business goals are different to personal goals. We're really talking about timeline and individuals. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we're talking about people need a cash reserve these days. One of the goals should be to always have some cash for a big issue. And talking about redundancies, 12,000 BA staff might get maybe redundant. I wonder how many of those had a goal and a game plan and a life plan, so they had a bit of cash for that. I worked for Barclays for a long time. I was always expecting to get made redundant at some stage. And from 40, I tried to build up a reserve and a plan. And if people haven't got a plan, they've got a bit of a problem. But what I'm going to do, guys, is I'm going to stop the recording in a minute when I've asked Kevin, and then so that people who want to leave feel they're able to, and then we'll stay on the line and handle any questions, and maybe we need a session on business goals and business plans. Kevin O'Connor and I had a debate last week. What would we do if we were the chief executive of Boeing today, with 746 planes grounded, 737 specials or whatever they're called, never going to take off again, and a huge cash issue, but that's for another day. Kevin, I'm going to ask you, if you're there, please.
Yeah.
What was Karen Horney's story?
Well, she was talking about sort of the choices we make every day. We move towards people, we move away from people, we choose sometimes to move against people, and then we can move ambivalently. So we're going back and forth. Of course, a lot of activity, but nothing is happening. And so that's what Gabby reminded me of, is the choices we make with regard to our goals. And sometimes I think if we're ambivalent about it, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I adopt this person's system? Should I do that person's system? We become ambivalent. And although it looks like we're consuming a lot of energy, our forward motion is not happening. And one of the things that I noticed about the idea of motivating a team, the thing that came to me there is I'm doing some work with my clients who are mostly physician executives. And many times they have team meetings, which are about operations, budget, schedules. Everybody has to come together for 3 months. But I'm suggesting they have a meeting about, not a team meeting, but a meeting about the team, where the team gets together and starts talking about how do we feel about what's going on? When is it we're able to talk with one another? And a lot of times in crisis, they don't do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm suggesting, and we're meeting now with teams, where I meet with them, we talk about what's going on from a broader perspective, leading myself, leading my family, leading my team. And then I interview a hospice physician or a chaplain, because they seem to be much more in touch with their feelings than the average neurologist or oncologist. And it's very interesting to see how interested they are, but how unique it is that they're talking about the team instead of having a team meeting. And so I think the thing that's important for all of us, even if we have a small business, is to give people a chance to talk about how they feel, because I could be giving them directions for the next 2 or 3 months if I have employees and they're nodding, smiling. Inside they're saying, I think you're a little crazy, that's not going to happen. So then what happens is they're moving against your idea, even though it looks like they're moving toward your idea. Mm. And as a result, their heels dig in. So one of the things to think about, I think, I like the way Gabby talked about this, is it's not enough for us to have the goals. We have to figure out how do other people incorporate the goals. Dreiker's called it aligning goals. He said sometimes you get resistance. He said resistance is not going against you. Resistance is me going this way, you going that way, and here's the tug. This is the problem. And he said, instead of fighting about that, he said, you need to back up and align goals first, then move forward. So that's what I was thinking about. Gabby, you did a brilliant, what do you say it in England? You say it's brilliant. Is that brilliant. Right?
Yeah, well, it was brilliant. You don't quite use all your Donald Trump language.
Yeah, we call it great. Fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah. Hey, that's been a great session today, Gabby. Thank you very much. What have we taken away from it? Thinking about our own personal goals, which could be a year's goals, 5 year goals. What do you want people to say about you when you pass on to the next world? It could be anything like that. Or how am I going to, Kevin said 47%, or Tim Durkin said 47%, according to an Oxford dictionary, an Oxford survey of people, won't be in a job in 5 or 10 years time because of artificial intelligence. Now, if that's right, people better be thinking about what they're doing with their own goals and with their own life and tucking some cash away, etc., etc. Gabby, back to you for one last word, and then I'll switch the recording off.
Your goal can be, how are you going to get to the end of the day? How are you going to get to the end of the month? How are you going to get to the end of the year? You choose. And they can be business goals, personal goals, but put some ideas, have a direction. As Stephen Covey once said, it's all very well going up the rungs of the ladder, but if you're not concentrating and paying attention, you'll end up at the top of the ladder and realise you're up against the wrong bloody wall.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Gabby. Anyone can get in touch with Gabby via LinkedIn, and I'll turn the recording off now, and we'll stay on the line.